This morning, as we study together His Word, I invite you to open our hearts and mind as we close our eyes as we come together. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, speak to us as we open Your Word. May we hear Your voice once again, that in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank You for guiding us and sustaining us. Amen and amen. I want you to listen to the lyrics of the song that touched the hearts as I listen to this one.
Chapter 139. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment You know where I am. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. If I go up to heaven, You are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, You are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there Your hand will guide me and Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from You. To You the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to You. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are Your thoughts about me, O God. They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning, You are still with me. O God, if only You would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, You murderers. They blaspheme You. Your enemies take Your name in vain. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate You? Shouldn't I despise those who resist You? Yes, I hate them with complete hatred, for Your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends You, and lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Amen, amen. The lyrics of that hymn touched my heart as I learned that God has something for me. We learn that Psalms 139, as we heard and read earlier, and said, Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path. Then as we ponder upon these words, I want you to consider this verse. It said, and even my lying down, and You are all acquainted with all my ways. And you know, the Lord is telling us something. He is a God who is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows everything. What do I do and what will I think? You remember King David is saying, before I think, You know already what's in my mind. Before I say it, He knows everything. And He knows everything about you. And not only that, He knows our past. He knows our present. And you will be surprised that He knows also our future. What an awesome God we serve. And King David is not only talking about knowing you and me, because He knows even my inward parts, even before you were born. Even Emerin realized that. I was talking yesterday, you know, every Friday morning I have my Bible study back in the Philippines live. What do I mean? Every Friday, since the time I do my mission trip every year, that Friday, this Friday morning, around 8 o'clock here, 6:30 in the evening here, Friday, Sabbath evening, I told the kids, because there are a lot of kids then, do you know that before you were born, the Lord knows you already. Even your mom and dad know that you were born, but God knows you, even my inward parts, He said. You covered me in my mom's womb, mother's womb. I will praise you, King David said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I see a lot of kids here. For sure, the time this special baby was born, well, he had a big celebration. I know it was not easy for mother. Father may not able to feel the pain. We always feel the joyful celebration on birthday celebration. Because one evening I was called as I was doing my duty as a hospital chaplain, Florida Hospital Altamont. And the young mother said, "Chaplain, could you come here and pray with me and celebrate with me?" "For what?" "Well, I have a beautiful baby." Whoa. And sure enough, the baby was so beautiful. God knows before you were born. That's why King David said, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord, and that my soul knows very well." Here we are, serving the God who knows us. He knows everything. Imagine, from before you were born, He knows us. I was asking my dad, "What's my name?" You know, my name in English is Elisha. In Filipino, I call it Eliseo. "And where do you get that name?" He said, "It's your grandmother who gave you that name." My grandmother was the first Adventist in her family. I didn't know about Prophet Elisha, but when I studied the life of Prophet Elisha, it tells me something. So God has something for us to understand that before you know who you are, God knows you. Isn't it nice? What an awesome God we serve. And in Psalms 139:7-10, God is not only omniscient, He is also omnipresent. Join with me reading. He said, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Whoa, where shall I go? The Lord God, we know, is omnipresent. Wherever you go, the Lord is there. Imagine the highest mountain here in Newfoundland. God will be there. The lowest valley here in Bay Roberts. He's there. Let's say you're traveling in a jet of 30,000 above sea level. He's there. Or you're taking a submarine 1,000 below sea level. God is there. Even you are in a crowd or in a closet, God is there. The Lord is there. So King David said, "Where shall I go? You're always there." Well, you may say, we know that. We know that God, we know, is omniscient and omnipresent. Well, I know that too. But the point of this song that King David wrote is something for us to understand. Verse 23 and 24. Because knowing the attributes of God of omniscient and omnipresence, the lesson of King David is for us to understand, unless we gave him permission to enter into our lives. So here's what King David said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. No wonder King David decided, you are the Lord of my thoughts. Would it be nice for us to understand, at the start of the day, before thinking of what I'm going to do for the whole day, we'll have time to talk to someone who created us. Because before we plan it out, he knows everything we're going to do. But the only thing, if he will be given permission by you, there he will guide us through. Because King David gives permission to the Lord who created him. The one who gave him wisdom and understanding, who gave him also the opportunity to lead the king of the kingdom of Israel. When King David gives permission, he gives him permission to have the full access of his life. When I mean full access, anything. Nothing you could hide from God. Probably you could hide it from your special friend, from your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wives, your children, but we cannot hide anything from God. So when King David gives permission, he had the full access to his life. And also, he gave permission to direct his path. Aren't we thankful that the lesson that we are learning right now, King David is telling us, if I give permission to the Lord who called me, who created me, he will direct my path. Then he will lead him in the way everlasting. See, when I was growing up, I mentioned to our Sabbath school lesson last month, right? I said to my mom, when I grow up, I don't like to be a Seventh-day Adventist. You know why? Because what I'm seeing is that you cannot do this, you cannot do that. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. Oh my, I said. My kids, you know, my playmates would like us to play basketball. My mom said, oh, it's time for Sabbath, come over here now. My schoolmates wants me to go to a cinema house. I said, no, you cannot go. Oh, there's a lot of don'ts, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. It's simply because what I'm seeing is are the don'ts and the don't. Do not. Do not, or you cannot do, you cannot do that. I didn't see Christ. I didn't see Jesus. But only makes a great difference when let the Lord live in my life. So there are ways the Lord will direct our lives. If you give him permission, he's willing to direct our lives. As King David, he gave the Lord permission to direct his life, to have the full access of his life. Now, for us, we could have the direct access, direct direction from our God if we give him permission. And that's the lesson I want you to understand. If he is the Lord of our thoughts, we will give him permission to direct our lives, because God will not lead us if we don't like it. So ways the Lord will direct our lives is what? Through the Word of God. Aren't we thankful? This church encourages each one of us to have a direct access to the Word of God. This Word is very important for us because this is a reliable source. And we learn from Psalms that there is something for us to learn. Another thing is counsel of godly person, godly individuals. And another ways is he will speak to our minds and we'll talk it over one by one. Let's deal first with the Word of God. The Word of God tells us in Psalms 119. Remember that word? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. King David had telling us, been testifying us, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For sure, when you were younger, you're thinking what life career you'd like to be. Oh, who will be your life partner? You're asking the Lord, go to His word. The Lord will direct us. He will tell us what to do. When I started the plan of coming over, remember we were still at the camp meeting that time. I was told by Newfoundland Board of Directors, I want to be sure that I could bring my car coming here. What do you mean? Because I would be driving from Orlando, Florida. It will be easy driving, but when you reach the border, I didn't realize there are a lot of documentation I need to contact the U.S. Customs, because the very first thing you're going to ask you is, how long are you going to use your car here in Canada? I didn't know that. Then I have to find ways with the car dealer, and I have to contact the documentation after documentation. That morning, I was talking to the Honda Financial Services, and they said, the only thing we could send you letter is by fax. If you send mail to you, it will take you more than a week. Oh, mama, I said, more than a week. I'll be driving the next week. So I don't have letter. And you know what? That morning, my daughter just arrived from Loma Linda, California. Woke up. I didn't wake her up. She woke up and she approached me. Dad, how are you? I said, fine. She said, darling, do you have a FedEx account number? Oh, sure. I don't have FedEx account number. The only thing that on the financial services would give me the letter is through by sending through FedEx. So I was able to give the account number of my daughter. She's from Loma Linda, California. Arrived a night before and she woke up that morning. Then after that, I need to do a lot of documentation, filling up this form. Oh my, I said, I don't know this one. She was the one who was able to help me. And sure enough, I was able to fill up and I received the EIN. What is that? Those are customs regulations. Then, a few days before I start driving, I have to send it. 72 hours, the U.S. Customs need that to be what? To be faxed to their office. So, I'm confident enough that everything will be okay. So I start driving first day driving from Orlando to Virginia. I mean, it's a normal thing because I used to drive that when I was in pastor in Virginia Beach. But the second day, whoa, I don't like to pass Washington D.C. You know, they said it's one of the worst traffic area in that area. I decided to go to the Chesapeake Bay Tunnel. Have you been to that area? Chesapeake Bay Tunnel is 23 miles with tunnel and bridges, where those warships going to Europe are passing through. Whoa, said Lord, where is this? Then afterwards, go to what? Maryland, Delaware, first time to go that direction, then Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Then I didn't realize, I was following my cell phone, I'll be passing New York City. And New York City, not only in the city, I'll be driving underneath the Manhattan Bridge. I said, Lord, where am I going? Looking at this one. And there is one decision, turn left or turn right for you to be able to go direction. There I could experience the Lord will guide me. And sure enough, when I turn right, I found the way going to Connecticut. Then I stopped at Massachusetts. I don't know, first time to be in that area as well. And sure enough, Pastor Ken kept calling me, how are you now? Where are you now? Well, I'm here so far, I'm so good. Then here's what I'd like to share to you. First time ever go to the U.S. Custom. When I reached the main, Cali's main, I said, well, which direction? I found two places, U.S. Custom and Canada Custom. But as soon as I reached the U.S. Custom, I passed by the building already, and I was already in front of the Canadian border inspector. And then the first question, where are you going? Well, I'm going to Newfoundland. Where are you from? Those are the questions. How long you'll be staying there? A lot of regular questions. But the guy said, will you go inside? I will ask more questions. Okay. So when I entered in the office, they told me, tell me, you're bringing your car to Canada? Have you done the exportation? Oh, no. I said, I think I made a mistake. I was told I need to go to U.S. Customs. But there's no way of turning back because the direction is no turning back when you enter the area of Canada. I said, I'm very sorry, sir. I think I have to go back there. Where? The U.S. because I have to present this paper. And sure enough, okay, go ahead, go straight at the stop sign, turn left, and go back to across the bridge of U.S. And you'll find out, they said, vehicle exporters. Am I exporting this car? I said to myself. Then I'm following what? 18-wheeler? My car is a small Honda Civic. And when I entered, said, the lady said, how can I help you? And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have this paper. Oh, go inside. I'll tell you. So I went inside. And sure enough, the document I sent by fax Monday, they have their own copy. And they check it out. Without any more questions, he said, I'll go back to Canada. Okay. When I go back then again, it's and here comes the inspector. Where are you from? From Florida. Where are you going? The same question. Wait a minute. He said, sir, my passport is on the office. Really? So go inside. Then I went back again, and afterwards, I met the same guy who asked me the first time. His name is Officer Grant. But he was so nice. He said, you know, technically you cannot bring this car in Canada. Because you have no, what, the title. Because I'm still in the process of paying off that car. But let me help you. But give me 45 to 1 hour. And I said, Lord, thank you. So I waited for an hour. And after seeing that, okay, here's the document. As soon as you enter Newfoundland, I want you to finish and work it out, this one, and do all the things you need to do and submit to the customs. I said, Lord, thank you. Because I don't know why I'm here. What are those papers? So when a few hours, I received a call from Pastor Ken. How was your experience at the border? Well, I cannot explain it right now, but I'm letting you know, I'm very thankful to God. He let me go through. Because honestly, they said technically you could drive this car in Canada because you haven't paid off. You have no title yet, the car. Wow. God works mysteriously. Your word is alone and been claiming his promise. Remember Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he what? He shall direct thy path. So I'm very thankful to tell you, honestly, my longest missionary journey is something I cannot forget in my whole life. Because I have proven when you commit yourself to God, the Lord will guide us through. And another thing, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from what? From the mouth of God. So aren't we thankful that we could depend on God's word? Promises are not made to be broken because that word of God. We're so thankful that we could claim his word. So if we want our lives to be directed by giving him permission, it's through the word of God. So it is nice not only to study the word on Sabbath, but it's a daily experience with the Lord. Oftentimes the reactions of people said, well, I've been reading the Bible. And the scoffer said, this is just like an old archaic book, totally irrelevant to the 21st century. The question to those people, are they opening the word to know the Lord's will, or are getting more information. There are a lot of people studying the Bible to get a lot of information. And sure enough, they could get a lot of information. I was a college teaching in Philippine Union College. I told the kids, you may have A or A plus in this class, but if you don't know the Lord, you may have a lot of information. Remember when Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, if you remember that verse, he was talking to the Pharisees. And he said, you are searching the scriptures because you think you have eternal life. They thought by knowing the scriptures, they have life. But Jesus said, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So if our intention of studying the word is just to say, well, I read the word in the morning and in the evening. But if I didn't open the word with the spirit of asking what the Lord wants me to know, we will not find the guidance. So a lot of people, like the scoffers, they said, that's just an ordinary book. Yes, for them. But for the searchers, because we come to Him asking the Lord the permission to direct our lives, He will sure enough give us direction. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Sure enough, I remember when I was in elementary school, my father used to tell me, Matthew 6:33. Remember that verse? Join with me in reciting. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now I've been telling my kids, my daughter studying in Loma Linda, and also my daughter in Southern Adventist, remember that. And His promise also in James 1:5, right? If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives what? Liberally. Wow, we are so blessed to have a God who is so kind enough to guide us through. So what's the difference? When we recognize the primary way is through His Word, His Word will guide us through. He will keep us safe. He will help us to understand. And this would be a day-to-day experience. It's not only on Sabbath. It's a day-to-day experience. The next way, one of the second ways is what? Counsel of godly individuals. Have you ever experienced that? Asking someone to guide you? If you're looking for a life career or life partner, if you have problem in your relationship with your husband, with your business, with your health, do you have someone to talk to? I'm very thankful that in my Christian experience, I know someone who's very supportive of me, praying for me. And that was my dad, whom I miss so much. At first, he was saying, why do you take the pastoral ministry? He was one of the elders of the First Adventist Church in the Philippines, the Santa Ana Church. But when he learned that I was taking ministerial course in our Philippine Union College, he said, why are you taking that? Because he knew as an elder, it's not easy to be a pastor. But he kept on praying for me. So every time I have a school break, I go home, he will help me and support me, pray for me. That's why I'm missing him so much. But I know one day soon I'll see him again. So we have accountable individuals who will guide us. In these days, I'm very thankful coming here. You know, the Hope Channel president, Dr. Derek Morris, when we were in Florida conference, he asked me to be one of his associates as a volunteer in Florida, in Forest Lake Church. And before I came here last July, two Sabbaths before the last month of June, he preached that the radical prayer of the harvest is great, the laborers are few. And after that, we had a talk. I said, Ellie, where are you going now? Well, I'm responding to your message, where the Lord leads me. He said, let the Lord allow you to throw you out. Well, the Lord throw me out in Newfoundland. And he said, really? Sure enough, the Lord will guide us through. So when I was asked, Will there be a difference for you if you have 30 members or compared to 300 members? Doesn't make some matter. Because what is important is when the Lord guides us, He will lead us. So He will guide us. And I'm very thankful that I have a godly individual to sustain me. And another one is our Vice President for North American Division, Dr. Paul Brantley. He said, Eli, I want you to be successful in your pastoral ministry. There where I get to know Pastor Eric Olila, because every other month we have Zoom meeting. He guides us through this direction. The Lord will lead you to someone who will teach you to go. I don't know with some of you if you're receiving emails. One time there's an email that said, if you want guidance, just pay this amount. Uh-oh, I don't need to do that. Because there are a lot of people who are making money out of it to give you counsel. God's guidance doesn't need to pay. You need a relationship, the Lord will guide us. Because He said in Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. And the Lord used them to direct our lives. Aside from godly counsel, He may use what? Inspired books. We're blessed that we have the spirit of prophecy. The steps to Christ, the desire of ages, the patriarchs and prophets, all those as we read those scriptures, inspired books, it will help us to understand. If you are parents, we have what? Counsel for parents. If you're looking for guidance on education, He will tell us though. We have sermons, we have Bible studies, audio and video tapes. The one that you heard this morning, the introduction. While driving, throughout these 5 days, I've been listening to God's word. The Lord will tell you something. He will keep you in guidance. So the Lord will guide us through. But the Lord is not going to force His way and compel you whether you want to or not. In other words, He will ask your permission first. See, God has the power, but He will not let you be. Force Himself to you. Only if you ask and give Him permission to do that. And the Lord will speak to you. The Lord will speak to you. Your ear shall hear a word. And you find it in this verse. In Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21. You shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whether you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. And that was the experience I had when I was under the bridge of Manhattan. Because I didn't know, first time to enter in that direction. I said, Lord, shall I turn left or right? He showed me turn to the right. And I found the right direction. Brothers and sisters, if we keep God's permission, He will guide us through. He will tell us what to do. The Lord will speak to us. He will speak to our minds, to our thoughts. He will bring impression to our conscience. Because He knows what lies ahead. Right now, today is Saturday, 12:20 in Newfoundland time. But we don't know what will happen after an hour. I know they keep on telling me here, but we learn how to adjust the weather, right? You may have 4 seasons in a day. And sure enough, I experienced those things. But whatever it is, God knows what lies ahead. And when the Lord knows that you are committing yourself, He will guide you through. Brother and sister, God is just waiting for us. He's waiting for us to give Him permission to direct our lives. He's waiting for us that He won't force His way into our life if we don't like Him to. Last night, as I present the message to our teenagers, we've been thinking, what shall I do? Because we need to make a decision whether to ask them to respond to the decision we're going to make. Sunday, I talked to them about Jesus talking about Himself, and I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The following day, I told them, just telling them about the scriptures. The scriptures are the words of God. The scriptures defend against the enemy. The scriptures testify of Jesus. Then Tuesday, I talked to them the scripture that Jesus is talking about salvation. That who will be beaten by the fiery serpent, quoting the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And when Moses, the Lord said to Moses, make a brazen serpent, who shall ever look and you shall live. Then the following day, talk about also that the good news, the bad news, and the most important news about coming of Jesus. Remember? The good news saying, see, Jesus telling them, the good news, my coming is certain. I will come again. But the bad news, not all followers of Jesus will be ready. But the most important news, as I mentioned to them, that Jesus wants you to be ready. So, night after night, I've been making an appeal to these young people. I found out many of them have no Adventist background. And many of them doesn't know how to open the Bible. So I let them use the Bible. I asked them to guide. And last night, we talk about the judgment. Whoa. Said, when we talk about judgment, it's something to look forward to, something to be afraid of. But when I mentioned to them, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Lord of your thoughts, you have nothing to worry about the judgment, because judgment is good news for those who have a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus, as the Bible tells us, is also the judge. Jesus himself is the judge. And also, Jesus knows those who belongs to him. So why will we be afraid when judgment will come? If Jesus is my lawyer, he is my judge, I have nothing to be afraid of. It's something to look forward to. So, brothers and sisters, if we give him permission, he won't force his way into our life, but he will guide us through. He will direct our lives if we give him permission. I want you to take note of what Sister Ellen White says in the book Steps of Christ. Because if we give him permission, not only on Sabbath morning, rather every day of our lives, listen to what Sister White says in Steps of Christ, page 70. He said, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as holy thine, and lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let my wrath in thee. This is a daily matter. So our permission to the Lord is not only once a week, not only on Sabbath morning, rather in an everyday experience. If you want him to direct our lives, to have the full access in our lives, give him the permission by consecrating ourselves every morning. And followed by this statement, each morning consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him, that day by day you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Jesus. Isn't it nice? If I give permission to him every day of my life, we don't know what will happen after we end up this meeting. But no matter what happened to us, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we have the full assurance that we are in his hands. And if we are in his hands, we are sure that we're in our safe hands. I was talking to some of our patients in the hospice. I said, the promise of the Lord is not only 100 years. If I ask you, how many of you want to live up to 100 years? 105, more than that. Well, I said, I would like to live that long if my quality of life is good. But if I am bedridden, what point? My quality of life is not good at all. But you know what I told them? The promise of Jesus is not only 100 years, not even 200 years. His promise is what? Eternal life is not only the longevity of life, but the quality of life. That really makes a great difference. And the quality of life is not only the time we are here. So the promise is, if we give ourselves to Him, He will guide us, He will sustain us. So this morning, my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, you want to experience what King David had experienced? Would you give him permission to enter into your life? And said, Lord, not only once in your life, it should be an everyday experience. At the start of the day, asking the Lord to empower us, to guide us, to lead us, to tell us the direction. Because sure, the Lord is willing to guide us. As the Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy ways, and He will acknowledge, He will guide us through. Let's bow our head as we pray. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us this morning through the life of your King David, telling us that you know everything about us. We cannot hide anything at all. And we cannot go anywhere without you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is omniscient and omnipresent. He knows everything about us. He knows also where you could find us. Thank you for loving us. And now we are giving you permission. Permission to guide us, to direct our lives, and to keep us safe. And this is your decision, brother and sister. Who would you like to stand? Because we come to understand, it's only when we give ourselves to Jesus, He will is very much willing to guide us. Is there anyone of you among you will stand, Lord, saying, here I am, I'm standing, because I would like to give you permission. Is there anyone? God bless you.